Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today's episode number 88 with Mike Benedoso.
But that self-discipline, that drive, the foresight, and the focus on accomplishing a goal larger than yourself and something more important than quenching your thirst, figuratively and literally, is what drove me to succeed in boxing, and what drives me now to succeed in sales or what other positions I may have in the future.
You are in for a great episode today. A couple of reasons to listen. First of all, determination. Mike is just a great case study in determination. He did not get into Google until his third time, but he was persistent, and he talks about how boxing and his time in the military helped prepare him for that persistence. Speaking from entrepreneurship, I can just attest to that value of determination and how much it makes a difference in a civilian career. So really, really enjoyed how Mike approached this. He also talks a lot about sales and account management. He's had roles at LinkedIn and at Google, and he talks about a description of what life is like and why veterans may like this. Lastly, Google and LinkedIn. I know that those are popular topics for veterans or popular places for them to apply. He talks about each of those and gives a good overview of why you might enjoy working there. Just as a reminder, Audible's sponsoring this episode. They're giving one free book for Beyond the Uniform listeners. If you go to beyondtheuniform.io/books, you'll find recommendations from every episode on books that people have enjoyed. Mike, I know, mentions two different books on sales, The Challenger Sale and Spin Selling. You can get those both, or one of those two, for free as part of this trial. So enjoy the episode, and let's dive in to my conversation with Mike Benedoso. Well, joining me today in New York, New York, is Mike Benedoso. Mike, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate the time.
So for listeners, wanted to give you a quick background on Mike. He works in new business development at Google as part of Google Cloud. He started out at West Point, where he was the boxing team captain and a national champion. He served in the Army for 5 years, first as an executive officer of a military intelligence company, and then as a platoon leader and team captain of the Army boxing team in the Army's world-class athlete program at Fort Carson, Colorado. There, he trained to earn a spot on the 2012 U.S. Olympic boxing team. Since leaving the Army in 2012, he's worked at Sony, LinkedIn, Google, and earned his MBA from UCLA. So, Mike, actually, one of the things I wanted to start with is boxing. I think that's such a, I haven't had anyone like that on the show before, and just curious about, especially in light of an article you published a little while ago, how has boxing prepared you for the corporate world?
Yeah, that's a great question. It certainly hasn't helped how I look and come off in a suit, because I got my nose looks all the way to the left of my face. But, there's a couple of, different variables and learning lessons that I picked up in boxing that I kind of carry with me no matter what position I have or what job I carry or have. Number one is discipline, right? So anyone who's an athlete, who's done some kind of sport at a very high level knows that it requires a large amount of discipline to work out, to look at your competition, to have that competitive nature in you, to go the extra mile, to work hard. And I remember when I was cutting weight, boxing has weight classes much like wrestling. So you have to meet a certain weight requirement in order to perform or compete in a tournament. And I remember I was so above my weight class or my weight limit that I had to limit myself during the training week to one glass of water a day. And I remember I had a glass in the refrigerator of the water I allowed myself to drink throughout that day, and every day it would go down a little by little, and it would take every ounce of discipline in me not to just chug the whole thing and then fill it back up and chug it again. But that self-discipline, that drive, the foresight, and the focus on accomplishing a goal larger than yourself and something more important than quenching your thirst, figuratively and literally, is what drove me to succeed in boxing, and what drives me now to succeed in sales or what other positions I may have in the future. So that's just one of the many learning lessons I picked up in boxing. That and how to take a nice punch to the gut and keep on going.
I'm just laughing because I can only imagine. I mean, this is just like, I can only imagine in an interview, anyone hearing that story is like, I want this dude on my team. Like, that's like such an incredible amount of determination and such an incredible amount of resolve. I'm just like blown away. I'm just thinking like, man, and if this guy's willing to do this for boxing, what could he do in an organization? That's just really, really incredible. And at what point did you know you were going to leave the Army, and how did you approach that decision?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Especially when I went to West Point, and my two brothers were West Point graduates and were in the Army. And so I wasn't, 100% confident that I was getting out at the right time. There are still some things I wanted to accomplish within the Army. But I remember it was right after the Olympic trials in 2012. I obviously lost and didn't, earn my spot to the Olympics in London. And I kind of just looked at myself and said, do I want to keep doing this? Do I want to do other things in the Army? Did I miss my chance to do things I wanted to do in the Army by going the sporting route? So I kind of just looked at myself and said, what am I really passionate about? What do I want to do in life? And I love the Army. I love the opportunities and chances it gave me. But there was other passions and other kind of desires I had outside of service that I wanted to actually pursue. And so I kind of came to the realization that, for the next step for me was to pursue something outside of the Army. And if I wanted to, I could do reserves or I could do National Guard and still have that attachment to my service and ever go back full time if I ever wanted to.
And what was that first job search like? And did that end up at Sony, or where? I guess take us through your first job search and where you ended up from that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I knew that the best – I actually didn't know what I wanted to do exactly. I was kind of lost during my, last year in the Army, and I knew I was getting out. I already had my orders to get out. But I knew that I wanted a seamless transition, right? I wanted a buffer to find out what I wanted to do, maybe to get some hard skills and some training that I could – utilized in the workforce. So I decided to go to business school, get my MBA. I found that this is the most seamless way for a soldier to get out and then enter the workforce and be seen as a leader. It also gives you a little credibility because you have some training and some education outside of the military. So that was, not my first job, but it was my first hunt for something outside of the government, right? My first job hunt was when I was looking for an internship between the summer of my first and second year. I remember specifically I had two offers, one from Nike and one from Sony. And I knew the big dilemma in my head was Nike's a cool brand. I had the athlete background. This would have been perfect for me. But the role wasn't what I was looking for. It was something, the manager basically told me, hey, I'd be in a basement looking at a computer all day long, which wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. Whereas Sony was much more aligned with what I wanted to do functionally. And the brand was pretty good too, right? So I had this big dilemma and debate in my head and obviously decided to go the latter route and pursue something that's more aligned functionally with my aspirations. But the hunt itself was obviously rigorous, and it was challenging at first because I haven't found my voice or my narrative coming from the military and relaying that to the recruiters out there. But eventually with some, trial and error, I was able to find that and secure some offers.
How did you like, the MBA process at UCLA? What was that like?
Oh man, best 2 years of my life. It is amazing. I would highly recommend it for anyone out there. It does a couple things, right? It serves the purpose of, providing a buffer between your military service and then you're entering the corporate workforce. So it gives you some time to build your network, to earn some hard skills that you're actually going to utilize or employ in once you get out or once you graduate. It also opens you up to a whole new world of different functions, different industries, people that came with different experiences and different masters. So it just gives you, exploration and opportunity to like explore these different facets that you didn't have available to you while in the military. So it doesn't hurt also that business school really promotes quote unquote networking with your classmates, which essentially just means partying or, I don't want to say partying, but, going to the bars, having a beer and just talking whatever you want to talk about. But it was a really fun time, that's for sure.
And it looks like you were involved with LinkedIn your second year and then ultimately ended up working at LinkedIn for a couple of years. What led to that initial engagement with LinkedIn and interest there?
Yeah, so the reason I really pursued LinkedIn hard was because it was, and I'm not saying this, I know it comes off as biased for me saying this, but it truly was the most invaluable tool for me coming out of the military and trying to enter the civilian workforce. So I use LinkedIn. I didn't even have a LinkedIn profile while I was in the military. The only reason I had one was because UCLA Anderson had a basically a recruiting class every week. And one of the lessons of the class was a mandatory, build your LinkedIn profile. So that's why I have one. But once I started using it and some of my friends showed me how I use it and what this whole quote unquote networking thing was, most people in the military know that you don't get your job in the military through networking, through who you know. It's basically, what the Army tells you, right? What HRC comes down and says, hey, the needs of the Army is you need to move to Fort Polk, Louisiana. Whereas in the civilian workforce, it's more, who you know, right? And a little bit, obviously what you know as well and how you perform, but networking plays a huge role in getting you the right introductions and getting your foot in the door. So once I was opened up to that kind of experience and that knowledge, I started reaching out to vets, whether it's Army, Marines, Air Force, and people started responding to me left and right, started offering me their time, started talking with me, 30-minute conversations, led to hour-long conversations, led to other introductions. And it was so invaluable. I not only gained some insight into what functions actually are, like what is finance, what is accounting, what does a product marketer do, that kind of stuff. But also, hey, guys who would say, hey, man, send me your resume. I'll make sure it's seen by the right people. So it opened up opportunities that led to interviews, that led to offers. I had a personal experience with LinkedIn, so that's why I pursued it so hard. I got an offer to be, enterprise sales rep for their talent solutions, which is their recruiting software. And then during my business school, they came back to me and said, hey, while you're still at school, how would you like to be a campus ambassador for LinkedIn, essentially running marketing activities to try to increase engagement and membership on the UCLA campus? So I gladly took that volunteer role and worked for them before I graduated.
And at what point, and so you kind of managed to leverage that into this full-time role as an enterprise account executive. How would you describe that role and what did that look like on a day-to-day basis?
Sure. I'm sorry. Did you say the enterprise executive role or?
Yeah. The enterprise account executive role.
Yeah. Okay. The enterprise account executive role was basically a sales role. There's two types of sales roles. There's hunters and there's farmers, right? Hunters go after the new business, people that haven't been sold yet. The farmers take the deals that have been sold or the accounts that have been sold and then kind of cultivate the relationship and try to upsell them, try to build a larger kind of business from them. So I came in as someone that would do both, someone that would go after new business, acquire the business, and then kind of cultivate that relationship for, 3 quarters, 9 months or so, and try to upsell them along the way if they need it. The role was pretty awesome. I was new to sales, never done it in a day of my life. So it was definitely drinking from the fire hose and try not to drown. But it was fun. It was great because it's a lot of client interaction. It was everything I was looking for. It was a lot of client interaction, a lot of, you know, talking about passionately about the tools, about their impact, and then supporting everything I was saying with data. And then, you know, using case studies and examples of what their peers and competitors are doing and trying to drive, you know, their competitive nature out so that they felt like they needed to compete. But it was everything I was looking for, you know, the client interaction, the substantiation with data, with numbers. So it was a lot of fun.
What are some signs, you know, I'm curious if and I really appreciate the way that you broke down that role and the different aspects of it. If a veteran's listening and they think that that might be a good fit for them, what are some signs that they might enjoy a role in as like an account executive, and any indications that it might not be the right fit for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say to any vet out there that's thinking about sales, it's first and foremost, get the image of the guy going door to door with a briefcase and, you know, a globe in his back seat or a dictionary, a set of dictionaries in a suitcase. Get that out of your head. That's not what salespeople do. They're much more consultative, especially at the larger account level. They go after businesses. They try to understand their problems, some of the challenges they're having, and then present solutions forward that can solve some of their challenges. But you're not just presenting solutions. You're basically understanding their challenges, putting yourself in their shoes, diving deeper on what those challenges mean. How painful is it that they don't have this type of hardware, type of software? What does that mean for their business? What does that mean for them? What kind of, can we quantify that pain, that challenge? Does it mean X amount of dollars that they're losing business-wise every month? So it's a lot more quantitative than one might imagine. And then once you have those answers, you could say, okay, well, here's what company XYZ is doing with our software or our hardware or whatever. And here's some of the results they're finding. And I think if you do this, this is the pain, you know, this pain that we just discussed is going to, you know, go away. So if you like that client interaction, if you like that analytical thinking of seeing a problem, trying to solve it on your feet or, you know, with some preparation, being very systematic, going down steps of, you know, how you're going to approach accounts, how you're going to reapproach accounts when they ignore you, how you're going to come back when they say no to you. If you like that kind of systematic process, then I think sales might be the right fit for you. If you don't like client interaction, if you just want to stay behind your computer and your desk, which is totally fine, sales is probably not the best thing for you. If you're submissive in the manner of someone saying no to you in terms of business, you know, and you kind of shy away and say, okay, that's fine, I'll talk to you next year, that sales, again, is not that. Probably not the right fit for you. It requires that persistence, that determination, and that systematic process.
That's great. What about Google? What led to the transition to Google?
I mean, I've always loved Google. I mean, even from, I think in high school is when it exploded for me. I remember hearing about it, looking at it, and then as it got larger and larger and started making more money, I knew, I heard obviously the brand of the Google is that it's an innovative place where, you know, they got the masseuses, they got the free food and all that. So I've always kind of been interested in Google. And while I was at LinkedIn, I was kind of pursuing an opportunity where what we call in sales, like greenfield ahead, right? So there's greenfield, there's a lot of space to grow and a lot of space to sell. I felt like at LinkedIn at the time that I was at the long tail or at the end of the adoption model for LinkedIn software, in that most companies already had it, right? And I wanted to go to a place where maybe, you know, not the majority of the people have never even heard of the software, you know, and to be at a place like that, that also has the branding and the reputation of Google, that's, you know, hard to say no to. So I was lucky to have a buddy that worked at Google, again, networking, really important. He worked on a team that sold some software that Google's not known for, at least in the enterprise space, and they was trying to overtake a competitor. So I thought, that's a great opportunity. Number one, it has the backing of Google. Number two, it's a cool place to work. Number three, it's an opportunity, a market space where there's a lot of opportunity for me to steal market share away from the competitors. So that's ultimately what led me to come to Google.
And what's your day-to-day life like?
My day-to-day life, it really varies every single day. There's not a day where I just clock in at 9 and go do XYZ from 9 to 11 and then ABC from 11 to 1. Everything's different, especially any kind of client-facing or client-interacting role is going to be different every single day, because I might be at an offsite visiting a client for all of Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, I'll have absolutely nothing to do. Then on Thursday, I'll maybe be booked back to back to back by calls with all my accounts. So it's completely different. But I would say the average day requires, you know, a dedicated kind of process of, number one, you know, doing some research on the industry. Are there some trends going on? Are there some updates from your competitors? Just doing some industry research. Number two, going through some kind of prospecting methods. So walking through all those accounts you haven't touched yet or haven't been discussing with or not in a dialogue with you yet, trying to get on the radar, but doing so in a very valuable way. And number three, just taking care of the accounts that you are talking to. So maybe there are some that require some work to be done, maybe some ROI calculations, maybe they need some deliverables you need to send them. Just handling that. So those are the three main pillars of every day.
And, you know, I'm just realizing you've worked at two organizations that are really, really incredible. And I know that a lot of veterans aspire to work at either of those, let alone both of them. I wonder if you have any advice for veterans aspiring to work at LinkedIn or Google or a company like that, of how to break through and how to actually land such a highly desirable role.
Yeah, I mean, it comes with determination, right? I didn't get a job at Google my first time around. Actually, I remember in business school, someone referred me for some roles at Google and got turned down left and right. And then I applied two more times later after graduating, and I got denied both times. And then it wasn't until my third time actually interviewing where I actually got accepted. So number one, be persistent and don't let failure sidetrack you, right? It's just a bump in the road. Number two, it's networking. And I keep saying this over and over again because it's true. I got my role at LinkedIn because I went on LinkedIn and literally searched for the role I was applying for in the division within LinkedIn I was applying for and just cold emailed every single person saying, hey, my name's Mike Benedoso. I'm applying for this role. You have it. Do you mind if I have 15 minutes of your time just to ask you some questions? That led me to building relationships within the company. Some of the nice employees that reached back to me sent me, you know, some valuable tips and hints and some inside information, not confidential, but some, you know, information about LinkedIn and what I couldn't gather from just Googling it. And the same thing I did for Google, right? The reason I had this job at Google is because my buddy referred me. He knew me. He knew that I wanted to work at Google, that it was a good opportunity to reach out to me. So number one, be persistent. Number two, network. Network your butt off. And number three, do your research, right? So do your research on the company, on what's going on in the industry, what kind of new products they're releasing or what they're doing in the market. If you come prepared, you shouldn't be okay. Like, even if you don't get the job, at least you did your best.
I love that. I love that story of determination and resilience and just going after things. One thing I always like to ask too is about resources, and just wondering if there's any books or podcasts or websites or programs that you would recommend to veterans listening that have helped you in your career, anything that they could take advantage of today that might might set them up for success or might be insightful for them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I keep saying it over and over again. LinkedIn is huge. It's massive. Just connect with people, even if you're not, if you don't know them, just reach out to them and say, "Hey, look, I'm a soldier. I'm a sailor. Getting out. I was wondering if I can spare, borrow 5 minutes of your time." So LinkedIn is huge. It was invaluable to me as well as other people. Obviously, there's books out there about sales. The top two that I've always found very useful, if you're thinking about sales, is the Challenger Sale and I think the Spin Sale, SPIN. Both of those are pretty good indicators of what's going on right now with the modern salesperson. Outside of that, I would always just read up on any kind of industry news. So if you're in tech, look at TechCrunch, look at VentureBeat. Go online and look at all the tech kind of blogs and publications and magazines and websites and stuff like that. If you're in entertainment, obviously there's entertainment blogs and websites. If you're in engineering, I don't know, sports, there's a ton of resources out there that you can literally just Google. Don't use Bing, just use Google, and look for those resources out there.
That's awesome. Yeah, the Challenger sale seems to be canon now. It seems to be the Bible. I hear so many different salespeople talk about it. I'll have to check into Spin Sale as well, but those are great recommendations. One thing I also wanted to ask about is failure or challenges. And I ask it, on the one hand, because I think it's so much of how we learn is through failure and mistakes. And also, it seems like coming from the military, a lot of people have this adverse reaction to failure, where failure is this connotation of being a big catastrophe and something that's huge cost of life or equipment. And it seems like it's very different on the civilian side, where it's not as detrimental. And so I'm wondering if you could share a mistake that you've made since you left the military and what you learned from it.
That's a good one. So yeah, I hate failure. I despise it, right? As most people from the military do, especially anyone who had a really competitive sports background, you hate losing. But it happens every day. And in sales, it actually happens more than you'd like, right? A good salesperson has a batting average of a good baseball player, maybe 30% success rate. So that means 7 out of 10 times someone's telling me no or not picking up the phone or whatever. So I fail a lot and it sucks. It's the worst. But you get used to it and you learn from it, right? I always, from boxing, the one thing I learned is you learn more from failures than you do success. And anytime I won really big, I just kind of like smile and walk around, walk in cloud nine. But I wouldn't actually reanalyze or analyze why I lost or why I won, excuse me. But when I lost, I'd actually go back and be like, okay, why did that guy hit me harder on this side? Or why did I miss this punch or whatever? So I learned a lot more from failures. I have a catalog of failures that I've had in my life. So I think the biggest, I mean, the most recent example is I actually had an interview with an internal Googler. And I wanted to ask him about some industry or some department that he's working on. And I asked to sit down. He was a very high-ranking guy at Google. I asked for 15 minutes of time, and then I realized about 5 minutes in that he worked at a different department that I was actually investigating. So I was like, "Oh my gosh! Like, I'm totally wasting this guy's time. This is the worst." So. Yeah, it was not. It was very awkward, and it was not. It wasn't very good for me. It didn't make me look good. So obviously, preparation and thorough investigation is always a plus. So that's kind of what I learned from that small little failure I had a couple days ago.
That's awesome. What about another thing I always like to try and dig into is there's so many great habits that we learn in the military that serve us well in life and in our civilian profession. And at the same time, I know that there's like also things that we learn or like things that are important in the military that actually, you know, might not benefit us as civilians and might even like hold us back. And I'm just wondering if there's anything that you feel like you had to let go of or change or modify leaving the military in order to be successful on the other side.
Yeah, there's a few actually. I remember very vividly when I first got to business school, I was standing in a circle with some of my veteran buddies, and we were riffing back and forth, and a lot of people in the military know that one way we show camaraderie is just to, you know, burn the other person or just, you know, talk about them in a funny manner. And I remember some of my civilian friends, quote unquote, would walk by and be like, do you guys like each other? Like, why are you, you're standing together the last 2 hours just making fun of each other? But that's how we show camaraderie, right? So, and I quickly realized when I tried to revert that same kind of methodology or the same practice to some of my non-military buddies, and they were quickly offended, right? Obviously. So I remember that was a stark reminder to me, like, hey, you're in a different kind of world, different culture here. You have to approach things a little more sensibly, a little more softer. And so that's one big learning lesson I had is, you know, you can't yell at people. You can't be as harsh to people, at least right off the bat. So that's one big thing that I learned. But everything else, I mean, the hard work, the discipline, the you know, focus that you have in the military, you can just apply that to any job in the civilian workforce. It really doesn't matter. You just got to make sure that you follow protocol and you don't step out of bounds. You should be good to go.
That's awesome. Well, I always like to keep the last question open-ended and just I know that you cover a lot with tech and MBA and with LinkedIn and Google and tons of great advice, but I'm sure there's stuff that I didn't ask about. So knowing that you have an audience of veterans listening, what else would you want to share with them about either personal life or professional life?
Yeah, I mean, I wish if I could go back in time before I got out of the military, I would just say, hey, you got to be prepared, right? It's almost as if you know, you're going to your unit, right? Before they send you to your unit, they send you to, you know, officer training school or AIT or wherever. And you get that training, right? You have that time where you learn your hard technical skill that you can apply once you get to your unit. And then a lot of your skill comes from learning on the job. If I could do it all over again, I kind of just went straight from the military. I traveled around Europe during my terminal leave, and then I landed right back at business school, and I just hit the ground running. But if I were smart, I guess I'm going to blame it on boxing on why I'm not. But if I were smart, what I would have done is done some preparation. I would have done this LinkedIn thing way before I got out, and then had an idea of like, hey, this is what I want to do. These are the companies I want to pursue. Here's why. Have a more fuller understanding of where I want to take my life rather than get to business school or get out of the military and then just figuring it out on the go, asking people as I'm learning, because it made it much more harder. I didn't really understand what I wanted to do until probably second year of business school. You know, I'm not even 100% sure if I still know what I want to do. And if I had that several months kind of preparation time, that would have been much more helpful. It would have been a much more clear sailing for me during my transition.
Well, this is great. I really appreciate, Mike, your candor and everything you're saying and just the determination that you have and just kind of that ability just to break through walls, to go after things, and just the humility you bring to everything is really refreshing. So thanks for your time on all this.
No, yeah. Thank you for doing this. Really appreciate all your help. Helping those veterans out there. It's, keep up the good work, man.
Surface, surface, surface.
Thanks for listening. Three important notes before you go. First, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook for Beyond the Uniform listeners. I love Audible. I get 3 books a month, and it's a great way to use Net or no extra time to polish off books while you run, drive, etc. If you go to beyondtheuniform.io/books, you'll not only find this offer, but you'll also find a list of every single book that has been recommended on this show. One in particular I'd recommend is The Hard Thing About Hard Things. This is a great story of determination and also a glimpse at what startups are really like. That's at beyondtheuniform.io/books. Second, there are so many great resources out there for veterans, it can be difficult to know all about them. That's why at beyondtheuniform.io/directory, you'll find a list of every single resource that's been mentioned on the show or that I've been able to find. You can also add your own if you find one I've missed. Lastly, I've put together several different free ebooks that provide data for veterans about their civilian career possibilities. This quantitative information serves as a great complement to the qualitative interviews I do each week. Go to beyondtheuniform.io, click on resources, and you'll be all set. Have a great week, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.